For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. And obviously he was peppered with questions about Deshaun Watson, as he should have been at the beginning of the press conference. Unfortunately, as Andy and I both said, too bad he's the guy who has to take those.
He should not be the guy having to answer. All I have to do is Andrew Berry or one of the Haslams needs to step up there before and say something.
They did make a statement yesterday.
Yeah, I just...
Deshaun's lawyer, Rusty Harden, has now made a statement. This just made an announcement. Dano, do you have that?
Yeah, I got it in front of me right here. So... this is from, I'll read this verbatim. Attorney Rusty Harden, who represents NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson, has released the following statement on his behalf. Deshaun strongly denies the allegations in the Jane Doe lawsuit filed Monday. We have asked him not to comment further while this matter works its way through the courts, but are comfortable he will ultimately be vindicated. We will be ready to defend this case in court at the appropriate time, but don't intend to conduct our defense in the media. We would ask that people be patient while the legal process runs its course. In the meantime, Deshaun is going to focus his energy and concentration on football. Again, that is the statement from Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney.
Okay. Kevin Stefanski said Deshaun will play. No thought that he won't play against Jacksonville. His efforts are being put toward being the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and David Njoku's out for this week.
Yeah, I mean, that became evident when they started trying out tight ends yesterday. So, I mean, that you kind of – and then when he left in a boot on Sunday, you knew. You're like, oh, boy, this isn't good. You just lost your second leading receiver. So, I'm not surprised, by the way, that they're, you know, with the Deshaun stuff. Deshaun's going to start this week, and to be honest with you, probably a good thing they're on the road. Because if he struggled out of the gate, we already heard the Boo Birds on Sunday, they would come out in full force this week if he was struggling early on.
I would think that's certainly the case.
So it'd be nice if they came back, got a win. It would ease the crowd going into, you know, the next game.
What did you think about what Rusty Harden had to say? That's the statement that
Dan
just read.
The timing of it's weird. Why didn't he release it before Kevin Stefanski had to go? I mean, they knew exactly what they were doing. Everything's timed. They all know what they're doing. I don't know why Rusty couldn't have done it an hour ago. Would have taken some of the heat off of Deshaun and Kevin as well. And so I don't understand some of the things they do and why he decided he was going to drop it right in the middle of Kevin's press conference is beyond me and kind of silly if you ask me. You know, just do it before. I don't know. Media PR 101. So,
or do it during so that Kevin doesn't get pestered by it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Or right after?
Yeah, one or the other. This is the key part to me. Deshaun strongly denies the allegations in the Jane Doe lawsuit filed Monday. We've asked him not to comment further while this matter works its way through the courts, but are comfortable he will ultimately be vindicated.
What time do we think we'll hear from Deshaun today? Any guesses? Nothing?
Players are available shortly. And we'll see
coming up here in a moment. So maybe that's why. Maybe he's just saying that now because Deshaun's getting ready to speak because Deshaun's got to speak because he's starting quarterback.
Right. And if he doesn't have to speak today, it could be tomorrow.
Right.
Makes it sound like NFL starting quarterbacks are supposed to be made available to the media.
And all Deshaun has to say now is Dusty made a statement.
You just refer to the statement.
Right. Just please look at the statement. Yep. Please look at what Dusty said. I wonder how many times he's going to have to bring that up in the – in the press, they're going to ask, and I don't blame them. It's their job to ask. You know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for his teammates who are also going to get asked the same questions. And they're like, is this a distraction? And they're like, well, you're kind of making it one by asking the question. It's kind of a catch-22 for both sides. No player is going to turn around and go, oh, you know what? It is a distraction. I can't believe this is happening again. They're not going to. But I guess the one time they do, that's what makes news, huh?
I guess that's the case. Players coming up, we will get them momentarily. We'll see. Maybe Deshaun Watson coming up on Baskin and Phelps. We're expecting Browns players to step up to the respective microphones in the various places in Berea. And we're thinking Deshaun Watson's going to speak to the media. So we'll hear Deshaun if and when he speaks today. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. Jake's taking your phone calls as well as doing the 2020s, 216-474-0092. And our buddy Dan Menigan's flying our ship today. Statement from Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's lawyer, just out during Kevin Stefanski's press conference. And again, he says, Deshaun, quote, here from the statement, Deshaun strongly denies the allegations in the Jane Doe lawsuit filed Monday. And we are comfortable he will ultimately be vindicated.
Okay.
That would make you think that you're not going to settle that, right?
No.
We will be ready to defend this case in court at the appropriate time.
Oh, that doesn't mean you're not going to court. I mean, that doesn't mean you're not going to settle.
That's true. But that's what they said.
You got to find a place to negotiate. One side takes one side takes the other.
Who's more tired of dealing with this? Browns players, Browns management, Browns head coach?
Baskin and Phelps.
Baskin and Phelps. Afternoon Drive.
Fans.
Carmen and Lima.
Peterlin.
All of us.
Barbershop.
Fans.
Let's give everybody some love.
Yep, everybody. So there's the statement. And you're right, Andy. That gives Deshaun something to reference when he speaks today.
Yeah, he can just say, lawyer, hey, Rusty, you heard my...
Yeah, my lawyer said something. We're good to go there.
Yeah, so he's prepared then to speak today to the media to talk about the game. I mean, there are plenty of things to talk about with the game with him outside of this other stuff and trying to look forward to another contest after what we saw on Sunday. I mean, things have got to get fixed. Hopefully he's got at least one of his offensive linemen back, one of his tackles.
Well, that would be nice.
I would think that Jack has got to be closer, right?
I would think
from
so.
From everyone that we've talked to, it feels like Jack is right on the edge of coming back. So, and if he comes back, let's make sure he's healthy.
That's the way that seemed. I will tell you, I'm a little surprised the offensive line had the issues it had the other day. And I say that because of this. Joel Bitonio.
Yeah.
Ethan Posick.
Yeah.
Wyatt Teller. DeJuan Jones. Sorry, I don't view DeJuan as a backup.
Well, DeJuan played like one the other day. He didn't have very
good. I don't view him as a backup.
I want you to take your hand.
Do you? Jeff.
I think he still needs to emerge. I still think he's still a young player in the league. So I think he's got things to learn. I mean, basically, when you look at that offensive line, take your thumb and your pinky, eliminate them, and then I'll try to use your hand. Right?
You think?
That would make the same sense, wouldn't it? Get rid of your thumb, get rid of your pinky, and now try to use your hand. Might be hard to hold things.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Oh, I don't. Maybe it is. I don't know. You tell me.
The offensive line did not look good. And then the mistakes, the coordination mistakes of lining up wrong are just inexcusable at the NFL level. They just are. And you just can't, especially when you have an offense that's trying to get moving, trying to get in sync, and now all of a sudden you're going backwards. That's not what you need.
Well, one problem.
So they've got to eliminate those mistakes this week. That's discipline. That's all it is.
Here's the other thing, though. If you don't have David Njoku, arguably there goes your number two pass catcher.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, there's no arguing. He is your number two pass
catcher. I would think he is.
Yeah. Stats will tell you that, too.
The only saving grace there, Jordan Akins has history with Deshaun.
Yeah, I don't.
Going back to Houston, so.
It's a step backwards, but
it's a little more comfort for him.
That's maybe a good word there, comfort, yep.
Thanks. And Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, let's see it, fellas. Here we go, let's see it. Time is here.
I don't expect Amari to not get a catch that is at his fingertips. I know it was not the greatest pass, but. I mean, that was the moment of the game where I was like, okay, this just isn't right because I don't see Amari Cooper ever doing that or missing that kind of pass. That's just, that was like the epitome of the game to me. I was like, okay, this is not happening today. It's not working, and things that you pretty much can rely on to work, didn't work on Sunday. They better figure it out this week, though. Starting 0-2 is not an option for this team.
Well, it might be.
Well, I'm just saying it's not.
If it is, Andy, I just say this. I want to see a good performance against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's a good team. You remember last week I mentioned we were talking about teams that you think might jump up and do something, be better than maybe people think. I think I said Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville could be that team. I think that's real.
Well, we'll find out this week. Again, I'm closer to turning the page on Sunday, so I feel better about not worrying about what happened and hoping that, you know, they take advantage of the next 16 chances. I'm not a huge Trevor Lawrence fan. Sorry if I'm not with the majority of folks out there.
I don't think he has a lot of fans right now. I think he's a guy that you're still waiting to see if he can become something. So, and with that thought in mind, it shouldn't be as big of a challenge for the Browns defense as the Dallas Cowboys were.
No.
And I would take Dak over Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
I would take the Jaguars running backs, Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, over what we saw from Dallas, an old Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle.
Duren Johnson's there, too.
I would take CeeDee Lamb over any receiver on the Jags, but I think I would start taking Jaguar receivers after that. Jags added some guys. Brian Johnson from LSU he caught a touchdown pass the other day. And Christian Kirk, I think, is a good wide receiver. And Gabe Davis was their leading receiver yardage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he was one of Josh Allen's guys in Buffalo.
Right.
He went down there. He was on the field more than any other receiver, and he led them in yardage.
I mean, their offensive line's pretty good, too. I mean, they got some pretty big names on that line, too. So, and give them some time. They need to win this week. They need to go on the road. And by the way, that's another struggle. They need to prove to themselves that they can win on the road, that they can play better on the road, that the defense can play better on the road than they did last year. When you have all these guys returning, and what we're going to be missing one guy from this week, and from the starting defense, and Juan Thornhill, they need to play better. I feel like a broken record on this game going into it. It's just what we saw was not professional on Sunday. I'm not going to lie. That's just the way it felt. That they can do better. That they should expect more out of themselves. That the coaching staff should expect more out of themselves. That the quarterback should definitely expect more out of the way he's going to play. I know he's coming back from injury, but if you're still injured, you shouldn't be out there in the first place.
Well, now that's true. One thing I think the team needs to do, what do offensive linemen love to do? Run block. What does Kevin Stefanski love to do? Run the football. What did the Browns do this offseason to make sure they were covered? Brought in another running back. Let's see more than, and I know the game had something to do with it, but Andy, you weren't down by more than 17 until the third quarter. You can still get back into a football game running the football. I mean, that's doable. And the running backs had only 14 carries. I really think you got to get there.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to run the football.
I just suddenly they're going to have to. They're going to have to fix a lot of things that they had issues with. Now some of that fix may come from the fact that Jacksonville just isn't as good as Dallas, and let's hope that that's what it is. And let's hope that the Browns underachieve. I can't make this any more simple. They beat this 2 minutes self destruction on Sunday, even to give themselves. Look, I can understand losing, but it's the way they lost. It's the way they lost on Sunday that I think stings even harder. And then just top it off with the fact that you had an amped up house of all of your fans, all in the perfect mood to start that game. All excited, right? You can't ask for a better atmosphere for your own home team. Yes, there were some fans that sold their tickets to Dallas fans. That's going to happen. It happens all across the NFL. I get it.
Always.
And when your team is not playing well, the other team's crowd is there, seems to take over your stadium. We have seen that way too many times since 1999. Way too many times. And as loud as those Cowboy fans were, I've seen way worse at that place. Way worse when it comes to other teams. Nothing is worse than when Pittsburgh comes in and takes over your own stadium. That's the worst.
Well, now that's not good, is it?
No.
We'll see. We'll not have to worry about that in Jacksonville. In fact, Jacksonville might get taken over by Browns fans.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
You know, I think that's a real valid possibility. We're standing by to listen to Browns players. So when they step to the podium, we will hear them. Coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps, Deshaun Watson expected to speak today. We'll see if that happens. Alex Cobb has had the injury issues, which obviously hasn't been good. And Lane Thomas looks like, Andy, he's starting to settle in, figure it out, and that is starting to work out in the Guardians' favor as well.
He looked comfortable and was having fun yesterday.
Gentlemen, that is your starting lineup.
And that was your starting nine, brought to you by Bet365 and KC Roofing. From a hole in your roof to a whole new roof.
Everybody in the club. Oh, sorry.
You can see now what it was they wanted in Lane Thomas, why they went out and got him. You know, he's been swinging the bat really well. And it just gives Stephen Vogt, okay, he's in the outfield, done. You don't have to think about it very much. Don't have to platoon, even though he's better against lefties than he is against righties. But you can just put him out there. This is what they had in mind, Andy. So I'm glad it's working.
Center field, too. I mean, remember when they first brought him over, like you and I both said, put him in center field. Let's see what he does. And they were like, oh, he didn't play center field. And all of a sudden, he does play center field. And look at his numbers.
He's been okay, hasn't he?
242 is what he's hitting now. So he's definitely turned things around. I think he's having fun. I think, you know, when the team was reeling, he was a reflection of it. And it was easy to point the finger at him because he was the new guy. Now he has completely settled into the middle of the lineup, which is where they desperately needed help because they were getting some offense from the top of the lineup. And now all of a sudden, Thomas and Manzardo. Man, Manzardo's been fun to watch, hasn't he?
He's been doing the job.
I wish he wouldn't have. Although that was a great play at short yesterday that got him doubled up on the double play when he was at third after he hit his double. But that's okay. It's all right.
That's okay.
Lively, that was scary yesterday.
Yeah, hope he's okay.
That was scary.
Oh, yeah.
Avia came in, did a nice job last night. I think I was just kind of was sitting back, watching him come out of the pen, a quick notice, got him back out there. Looked good. Impressed.
To go big picture here,
mm-hmm.
That's tough news on Sam Henches. He's out 12 to 14 months with the shoulder surgery that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've perfected, let me knock on wood, they've perfected the ulnar collateral ligament transplant surgery known as Tommy John surgery. That looks like
Dr. Phelps.
You have a really good chance of coming back from that and regaining what you had before. The shoulder surgeries are still a little bit of a trouble spot. So you hope that Sam Henches can come back and be as strong as he once was, you know, because Sam could bring it.
Yeah.
And he was terrific out of the bullpen. And he's another one of those guys who was a starter who they made a bullpen guy. And with Sam and Hunter Gaddis, you know, in the back of my mind, still with Hunter Gaddis, it's like, you need a starter for next year? Well, maybe it's Hunter Gaddis. You stretch him out and you give him the opportunity next year. You know, other guys have started in the bullpen and become something. Nolan Ryan, going way back.
That is way back.
It's happened before. And maybe Hunter is that guy next year. But now you don't have Sam Henches there. And again, who knows if Sam ever returns to what he was? You hope yes, but there's no guarantee of that. I would say you've got a better shot with Tommy John surgery than you do with a big shoulder surgery.
Probably. I mean, they perfected it now. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, what did they call it before Tommy John had it? I don't know. Anybody else have it before Tommy?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then that explains that.
Hey, Tommy, here's the deal. I'm thinking if I take a ligament out of your leg or out of a dead person and put it in your elbow, we can put it back in there, fix you up. It's completely a shot in the dark. You want to do it? Otherwise, you're done. You do it, maybe you can keep pitching for another 15 years. Yep, let's go. He did, and there goes baseball history.
Yep. Probably the most significant medical breakthrough in the game.
I don't think there's
any question.
Any stretch. That's exactly the case. You confident this team can hit the rest of the way?
No, but okay. I'm happy to watch along. You want me to be more honest?
Could you think about that before you give me the answer, please?
You know, I get excited when Thomas and Manzardo are hitting in the middle of the lineup. Like, Kwan steps up to the plate, I think there's always a chance he's going to get it. Ramirez, there's no question I think he can get you a hit. Naylor, I always love watching him swing out of his shoes. I think it's half the fun of the game. But I don't feel confident at the bottom of the order. I never do. Can you ask for more out of a catcher? I don't know. Can you ask for more out of your shortstop? Probably. Right?
Offensively?
Yes.
Heck yeah, you can ask for more out of your shortstop.
Okay, so when you're only batting 7 against 9 and the other team's hot in the playoff game, you're in trouble. Just be patient at the plate. That's really what I'm asking for. Even if you go 0-for-4 and you're patient at the plate and you make the other guy burn 10 pitches, fall off a couple, okay.
Yeah.
That gets me closer to getting a good pitcher out of the game. And I can live with that because you can actually do your job without actually having to get a hit. Let's wear out the other pitcher. Just be resilient at the plate and let the guys that are able to hit at the top.
Hit at the top. I'm curious. I don't mean to look too far down the road. I wonder if this team is built for the playoffs. I wonder. You know? We've seen it dodge little problem spots here and there. The offense has struggled significantly at times, yet there they sit. The starting rotation has been rebuilt on the fly, yet there they sit in first place.
Jeff, they easily could have fallen off the face of the earth.
Oh, I know.
They easily could have just dropped out of it and said, well, it was a great run, it was a great season, no one expected anything out of us, and then completely fallen apart and called it a day, especially when they were losing all those games, and then you drop 3 to Kansas City, and... You know, you lose that doubleheader, then you've basically lost the lead in the Central, and then you've built up a little bit of street cred. You've built up a little bit of this 3.5-game lead. Now you go into Los Angeles and Chicago, and you're like, you know what? Don't have to win every game on this year. We're going away for 6. Let's just make sure we win 3 so we can stand pat because we built a little bit of a lead because we slingshot it a little bit when we played Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And now all of a sudden you get that first win in Los Angeles because I think on this trip that was the biggest win of the trip. That first win, the first night in, because it took some of the pressure off you, thinking, hey, we're going to go to Chicago on the back end of this trip. And I'm not saying the players think this way because they can't. But big picture-wise, when you go back and look at what they were able to do, getting that win the first night in Los Angeles was gigantic. Because you have to say to yourself, we got 6 on the road, we're 3.5 up, and if we can just split on the road, that's all we got to do. Take care of business at home, split on the road, you're going to do good things. And that's what happened. And that's why, you know, winning that first game in Chicago was big. Now they've come back and won the first 2 in Chicago. And if you can win today with a 2-10 start, now all of a sudden you've won that trip. Yeah, worst case scenario, you're going to tie out this trip. No harm, no foul.
You know what's interesting to me? A couple of things here. Number one, though none of us want to go ahead and say, yeah, you're looking at the playoffs. They have a 9-game lead over the team that's not in the wild card. So there's a lot of, I mean, that's a pretty good distance. The Tigers are the team that's trying to get into the wild card, and they're 3 games behind the Twins right now. So right now, Andy, you're looking at 3 teams from the Central going to the playoffs, and the next one in line to try and get in is the Tigers. I mean, who'd have thought that 4 teams from this division would have playoff aspirations this late in the year? That's pretty stunning, man.
Well, it doesn't hurt when you have a 33-win team in your own division and you know you're going to get more. It's not like it was before where you were playing 17 games against these teams, but you can't tell me having that diving board known as the Chicago White Sox in your division hasn't helped this division get victories.
I would agree with that. We're going to end up with postseason baseball here. That's just happening, and I just think that's fabulous because I don't know that we all expected that this year.
No, I don't think pitching-wise, I thought we could get there, but then when the pitching fell apart in the beginning of the season and you got injuries and you're trying to figure this thing out, I think the thing that no one saw coming, because bullpens are fickle every year, is that the bullpen was able to do what it was able to do. That's the key to this entire season.
Well, it is.
Is the fact that they've kept you in every game and you have the best closer in the game.
Are you surprised? And I know he had a rough stretch. You surprised they designated Scott Barlow for assignment? I really am, man. I know he had given up like 11 runs in his last 10 or 11 games. I know the number wasn't good. Except Scott Barlow has a real track record. And that bullpen's been a key, and he's been a part of it. And they designated him for assignment. Last check, he's not with anybody right now. They could send him down to Columbus if he clears and everything's done. But as a veteran, he would have to accept that assignment. But if he did that, then he'd still be able to come up and play in the postseason, Andy, if they get there, or later this year. And the way they've been running Anthony Gost back and forth, you never know. I mean, Anthony Gost has been designated for assignment 73 times.
Is he eligible? If they did bring him back, would he be eligible for the
playoffs? I would think he is. He's on the 40, man, isn't he? Right now?
Yeah, but
they'd have to clear a spot for him if he went to Columbus, probably. If you designate him, you take him off the 40, man. But if he comes back, you could clear a spot. I mean, what the heck? Make it 74 for Anthony Gost.
I feel bad for that dude.
I do, too, except for one thing. He's making major league money.
Well, that's true.
A little bit. Not as much as he'd like, but a little bit. So that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as you got cash coming in. Life is good.
We'll see. 2 o'clock start today for the Guardians as they wrap up against the Chicago White Sox. Congratulations, fellas. It's been fun. It's going to be more fun to come. So I can't wait for that. Browns are speaking in Berea. Players. And we'll hear them right here coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.